The views expressed in this podcast are solely those of the speaker. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is not a substitute for professional medical advice from your own physician.
Good afternoon. This is Dr. Renee Rosati. We're recording at the annual NASS meeting in Los Angeles, and today we have Dr. Aaron Conger with us today, who practices in Salt Lake City, Utah at the University of Utah. He is an assistant professor of physical medicine and rehab and is a co-director of the NASS ISMM Interventional Spine Fellowship. Today's topic is about cervical interlaminar injections and some common questions that new practicing physicians or experienced practicing physicians may feel when they're in the middle of a procedure and have some questions. So Dr. Conger, will you tell us a little bit about yourself before we dive into our topic?
Thank you so much for having me on the show. So I did all my training at the University of Utah. I did residency there, and then I did the fellowship there. I was the first fellow in our interventional spine and musculoskeletal medicine program, which is NASS recognized. My practice is probably about 80 to 90% spine. I do a little bit of peripheral MSK stuff. It's a very heavy interventional practice. My patient population is like most spine providers, middle-aged and older. And I think as far as my case mix goes, I'm sure at least 30% of my practice interventionally encompasses cervical spine procedures. So it's something we do a fair bit of. In terms of my hobbies and outside interests, I'm a sports enthusiast, soccer player or former soccer player. And I've got a family. I've got 5 kids, and enjoy spending time with them as well.
Sounds like you have a lot of after school activities that you probably have to go to with the kids after work too. So Dr. Conger's agreed to talk with us about a very interesting topic, which is the cervical interlaminar injection, the views that he uses, and what to do when you feel like you're on imaging deep enough, but you're not getting that loss of resistance feel. And I think a lot of us question, do we need to take the needle out and reposition it? Or do we need to advance a little deeper?
Yeah. So I think there's two important things there. Just to make it totally clear, we're talking about a situation where, we've placed the needle on AP, we've checked the CLO of the opposite side, for the lamina that we're approaching. And we have not yet gotten loss of resistance, even though we look like we've passed into the interlaminar space where we believe that we should be engaged in the ligament. So one very important, thing to keep in mind is that in a number of people, the ligamentum flavum is just not fused at that level. We know that. So one strategy, if you have not yet engaged in the ligament, but you think you're looking for it, is not to continue to look for it, because if you continue looking for it and it's not there, you're going to run into the spinal canal and the spinal cord potentially, which can be a devastating thing. So don't go looking for the ligament if you can't find it. A small amount of contrast injected, just as the tip of the needle passes beyond the ventral interlaminar line, is a really good strategy. As long as you don't opacify the entire area, usually you'll be able to see if you're in that space. And I mean, I would say every several months, I have one patient that there's just no ligament there at all. And we're looking for it, myself or a fellow, and we just aren't able to find it. So as long as you're carefully using your imaging and very slowly approaching that that line, using the trajectory view that you chose, your AP view, and you try some contrast there, you should be safe. And many times you'll see if you're, you'll see that contrast kind of come backwards because you haven't quite reached the ligament yet. If you're in the ligament, you'll obviously feel that. You won't need to inject contrast. And if you pass beyond where that ligament should be, you'll see epidural spread, which is pretty common, actually. More common than you would like.
So if you're going to put your contrast in, it actually flows superficially, it flows back and not into the epidural space. You may need to reposition it on the AP view if you feel like you're already deep enough in the lateral view, but it's not flowing into the epidural space. Is that correct?
Yes. I mean, I do very few, like far lateral cervical interlams. I know there's a strategy for you for doing that. It's just not what I do. I usually stick where there's most space, which is going to be in that kind of zone one area posteriorly. So I think if you have straight off laterally, that's the possibility where you probably should kind of try to bring that needle back and reapproach that lamina.
And then let's touch on the angles of the contralateral oblique. Different providers will use 45 degrees or 55 degrees. What advice do you have on that?
Somewhere between 45 and 55. I mean, there's studies that talk about measuring the laminar angle. Honestly, I do it by look, by what it looks like on fluoroscopy, and I'll adjust that to kind of crispen up that that contralateral oblique so you can really see the lamina. So just even doing like 5 degrees this way or 5 degrees that way, over time you'll train your eye to it. I don't think that there is a one size fits all angle.
All right. I agree with that. That seems to be the case with medicine. Nothing's one size fits all. Well, thank you for your time. Thank you, listeners, for joining us.